all the snow removal and things that we do, and you get the little sniffle that's kind of kicking around. I said, I better save my voice a little bit today. And then we sing One Day. I'm like, well, there went that idea. I don't know how you sing that song quiet. So I didn't. All right. So pray my voice holds out. If you would, grab your Bibles, turn to back to the book of Isaiah. Started this last Sunday morning. We'll continue it this morning and tonight, and then next Sunday all day as well, Lord willing. Isaiah chapter 9. We do have one first-time visitor today, and so praise the Lord. Judy Sheen is with us, Katie's mom, and so it's good to have you with us. Hope you enjoy the service today. Hopefully you enjoyed that song right there. If you don't like the message, I hope you at least like that last one, that last song we did. So if you would, Isaiah chapter 9 is where we are. And verse number 6, familiar Christmas spot normally. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." This, of course, is a prophecy of the birth of Jesus Christ. Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And you get that fulfillment there in Luke chapter 2, right, with the angels showing up to the shepherds, and Mary is there with Joseph and the babe and lying in a manger, and the Savior comes into the world. And in he comes. And oftentimes we think of names, and I was talking about this last week, but names often had significance, especially in the Bible times. You think of different people who've had different names, and they're attached with their occupation. There's different names in the Bible. The Lord purposely has people named like Isaac because Abram and Sarai laughed at the promise, and his name means laughter. And so there's different things that happen. Benjamin's name gets changed over to Benjamin because, of course, Jacob didn't want his son named after the sorrow of Benoni when it originally his mom wanted to be. And so there's different names and different things. The Lord changes Jacob's name to Israel on purpose. And so all those different pieces, Abram changes to Abraham, and all those names, they all meant something. And as you start looking, you find different names. There's literally hundreds of names for Jesus Christ. We talk about nicknames for people. We all have some nicknames and different things, and some of them, they always have something to do, usually with either something odd about the person, maybe something funny that happened to the person, or different things like that. You know, just little nicknames, you know, something simple. Most of you that knew me growing up knew me as CJ, right? My first initial and my middle initial, and so that's how it was. You know, different names. You have different nicknames for friends and close relatives and different things like that. So we know that. We know that's always the case. But oftentimes those names are very descriptive. And last week we looked at Wonderful. Jesus Christ, he's just wonderful. I got to brag all of last week how wonderful he is. He's wonderful. And he lives up to the name. You know, some people, they get a nickname because they never live up to that, right? And it's making fun of the fact that they're not really what, right? The big guy, he's called Tiny, right? Mrs. Legault has a nickname, Tall and Willowy, you know, and that's what she is, spiritual, right? That's the spiritual. She's tall and willowy, right? And so different things, right? And so it's just, right? Judy calls Pastor Smalls. I mean, come on. Right? So, I mean, that's just how it is. And so we have different nicknames. And sometimes we don't live up to those things because they're purposely designed, because we don't. But Jesus Christ, his names, he always lives up to. Amen. And he's amazing. And so I'm not going to take more time talking about Wonderful. If you missed that, you can go back and listen to it. But he is wonderful. And he certainly lived up to that. If you don't believe it, just remember one thing. He's a wonderful Savior. There's nobody that saves like Jesus saves. And he gives you an everlasting salvation. And here, the next one on the list, his name shall be called not just Wonderful, but he's going to be called Counselor. Counselor. We think of a counselor, for one, a counselor is also another name for an advocate, a lawyer. We're going to get to that here in a little bit. But we take counsel. A counselor is supposed to be somebody who gives some really good, sound advice. They give good counsel. They give good direction, good leadership, good answers to the problems and the questions that you have. The trouble we have nowadays is that people have no idea what good counsel is. They look around and they get advice from this person and that person. You know, counsel can be very dangerous. You get the wrong counsel, things can go real poorly. You just look at the Old Testament, right? You've got Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and he's on the throne, and he loses the kingdom. Because he gets terrible counsel. You get terrible counsel, you know what you end up with? You end up making bad choices all the time. You keep listening to the wrong people. You keep listening to the people who have no experience and no thought process. You pick on these people who they get a great education and they think they've got all these things together and they think they know things, and then all of a sudden they've never had anything actually happen in their life, and then they look around and go, boy, I don't know why that didn't work. It's because they don't know anything. They can sit. There's certain things. The ministry is something that is unique in some respects, and the reason that the ministry is so unique is you can learn all you want to in a classroom, and until you deal with people, you don't have any idea what you're doing. There's countless times Pastor Legault, I know, has called upon other men and said, hey, I've never had this happen. What do I do? Have you ever seen anything like this? I've done that. I call him, and I still lean on his counsel. You say, why? He's done it for over 30 years. I should lean on his counsel. I'd be dumb. I would be absolutely foolish to think that I know everything and couldn't possibly get any other counsel from anybody else. We look for counsel, and it's good. In a multitude of counselors, there's safety. You start looking around and finding some good counsel, and you start putting those people in your life. You find some people you can trust. There's a reason we have a deacon board here. I trust their counsel. Pastor Legault trusted their counsel for a very long time. I look to men in the church to be able to give me good advice, biblical advice and counsel. We look around and some of the stuff is just simply, we go, well, we've been looking at deacons, we always do, and at the end of the year we pick some new guys, and always there's somebody that's either coming out or they're getting re-upped for the second term. But once they run that second term, they've got to be replaced. You've got to put somebody else there. And so we've looked, and Pastor Legault and I, before we made the transition, we were talking about, well, you know, what do we want? What are we looking for? Different things. And I said, because he was kind of setting it up, knowing that I would probably be the pastor in a little while. And, you know, do you want some younger guys? Do you want some, what do you want? What are you going to be? And I said, I need at least two out of three being older men. You say, why? Because they've been around longer. there's some wisdom that comes, no offense, gentlemen, of the gray hair, the hoary head. That involves wisdom. That tells you that you've gained it, or hopefully that you have anyways, right? The idea is that those men are supposed to have some wisdom that us younger fellows may not have. And I would much rather have some younger guys learning from them that are on the board and say, what are you doing? Just looking for good counsel. You want sound counsel. You want to have that in your own personal life. And I want you to know one thing. There's no better counselor in the world than Jesus. Amen. He always gives the right counsel. There's never a time when Jesus Christ has ever given somebody a bad direction. There's never been a time when he's ever been wrong. There's never been a time he's failed somebody. Boy, we oftentimes don't listen to what he has to say, and we don't do it his way, and we find ourselves in quite the mess. And we go back and we think, boy, if I would have just listened... You ever done that with anybody? Boy, if I really wish I would have listened to them instead of listen to me. Amen? I've been there, right? Why didn't I do that right? If I'd have just done that right, we'd have saved ourselves quite the headache. And the counsel that God has for you is always going to be right. And Jesus Christ is the counselor. He has the advice and the right answer to every problem in life. And we're going to look at some of that this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the day, and I thank you for a Savior that came into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for your Son. I thank you for being the Savior of the world. I thank you that Jesus Christ came and paid the price of my sins, but I thank you that He is such a wonderful counselor. He is ready to give the right answer and the right advice. He's ready to tell the truth. Father, if we'd be willing to listen and we'd be willing to heed the counsel of God, I pray you would guide and direct our steps. Lord, you're willing to go ahead and make it so that none would fall if we'd go ahead and walk in the way that you want us to go. Father, once again, I pray you'd bless the Word of God as it's preached. If someone here does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I do pray that today is the day of salvation for them, that now they'd realize they need a Savior and they'd call upon the only Savior, Jesus Christ, to save them. Father, once again, we pray you'd bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn over to Luke chapter 19, if you would. Luke chapter 19. Go to a few places here. You know, a counselor is somebody who goes ahead and gives advice. But you realize that a counselor is no good to somebody who doesn't want advice. If you don't want advice, if you don't want any help, it doesn't matter what anybody says. You've dealt with people like that. Everybody has. You look at them and you go, okay, hey, do you want anything? And no. Okay. Then, now you can give counsel. It just doesn't make a difference. We want counsel that makes a difference in our lives and have it be good, I hope. But, you know, I will say this, and I don't mean it to be mean, but the Bible says fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you don't want wisdom and you don't want instruction, then you're a fool. If you don't want good counsel and you don't want to seek advice and you don't want to go ahead and find out what you should do, you're acting the fool. And that's why Jesus Christ is so amazing, because Jesus Christ is ready to give counsel to whosoever will. And so you get to Luke chapter 19 and a memory verse for those who have been in Sunday school and different things. He says in verse number 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen. You know, he's a great counselor to the lost. Amen. Right. The lost is a wonderful term. I think it's one of the best descriptive terms of someone who does not know that heaven is their home, that is not saved. That's a term we use, saved. Jesus Christ calls them lost. You know, somebody who's lost, that's a great description because of this. Somebody who's lost, let's say we dropped you in the middle of the woods somewhere and you have nothing, you don't have a compass, it's cloudy and it's dark and you're in the middle of the night, you don't know what direction to go, you don't know what you're doing. You're standing there, you're looking around, you think, okay, well, I got to come up with a plan here, but you're lost. You ever been in a place where you get so turned around, you think, am I just walking in circles? Is that the same tree or is that a different tree? It looks kind of the same. I don't know what I'm doing. That's a lost man. They don't know where they are in relation to who God is. They don't know how to get to God. They certainly have no idea how to get where they want to go. If they want to go to heaven, they have no idea how to get there. They have no direction in their life. And they have no reconciliation to who God is and where He is and have a relationship with Him. Amen. That's a lost man. They're confused and they're in darkness. You know what they'll do? They'll try anything. When you're lost, you go, well, I'll just pick a direction and go in that direction. Yeah, except if that's a bad direction, you're winding up in the swamp and your boots are stuck there in the mud and you're trying to figure out how to get back out. Right? There's different ways. If you start just choosing a direction and start walking, you could be in more trouble than you're in right there. And lost man goes, well, I'll just choose this religion over here. And they walk toward religion, but religion doesn't help them. In fact, usually it mucks them up. They think they gain righteousness that God says is not righteousness. They haven't washed themselves of their sin. They instead look around and they go, maybe I'll just turn over a new leaf and I'll live a better life. And that lasts a little bit. But the problem is that they're still holding with all the cords of their sin from before. They're still dirty and tainted because they're still a sinner. They're lost. They don't know what direction they're going. They go, well, I'm trying to make a better choice. Okay, but you still haven't made the right choice. A better choice doesn't make it the right choice. We do that all the time. We think, well, if I can just make a better choice. No, you have to make the right choice. In your eyes, it's better. In God's eyes, it's only right or wrong. So you're still wrong if you don't go His way. He says, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so you know what He tells him in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You want the counsel of Jesus Christ? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Religion goes, I want to add to my righteousness. And God says, you don't have any righteousness. Your righteousness is filthy rags. God says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. If we've offended the law in one point, well, we're guilty of all. You're condemned. The Bible says that without Jesus Christ, you're condemned already because you have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We don't do right in and of ourselves. We choose to sin repeatedly. And we've done it a long time. And the lie is that you can go ahead and be better and be fine. And the truth is that only Jesus Christ can wash a man of his sins. He says, hey, you know what you need? You need God's righteousness. Well, how do I get God's righteousness? Jesus looks at them and He says, don't worry, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ looks around and He says, you know what? I have a way out for the lost man. Jesus looks around and He says, you know what? I'll give you some good counsel. I'm the way. Just follow me. I am the way. You know what He is to the lost man? He's the way. He's the way out of all of his sin, all of his transgression. He's the way out of getting everything else. You know what His counsel will do? It'll lead you to Jesus Christ alone being the Savior of the world. As the counselor, He's also called the advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation, the full payment, the only full payment you and I have, the propitiation of Jesus Christ is the death of Jesus Christ and His blood that paid the debt of your sins. The full satisfactory payment for sin is Jesus Christ. His way is the only way. And His answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Would you believe me? He looked at Nicodemus that night in John chapter 3, and Nicodemus came to Him and Jesus said, you must be born again. And then He says, well, I don't know how that is. And He says, well, you got to be born of the Spirit. If you don't get born of the Spirit, you don't have it. He says, well, I don't know how and then the most famous verse in probably the entire Bible. Jesus looks at Nicodemus and He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He says, Nicodemus, you're lost. But there's a way. There is a way for the lost man to get to God. There is a way for a lost man. God is so wonderful and He is so amazing that His answer is, though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God says, I can wash any sin. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, it's only forgiven through one thing. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. You know what Jesus' counsel is? You can trust me. You can trust me. I came to be the Savior of the world. That's His statements. His statement is, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He wants to save you, and He has the only way that you need to have a Savior, the Advocate, Jesus Christ, paying the debt of your sin. And all He asks is that you believe Him. Would you take His counsel on that one? If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, He wants to counsel you to trust Him. And His counsel has never failed. He's given eternal life to millions, maybe billions, but definitely millions, by the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, the price of our redemption. Look over at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. He's a counselor to the lost, but they can reject it. We've seen that repeatedly. The lost rejecting Jesus Christ, not wanting it, not wanting the answer, not wanting eternal life, not wanting to have Him as the Savior, so they reject it. They push it away. They say, I don't want it. I don't need it. Okay. God won't force them to do His counsel. You don't want His way, then you can go ahead and stay lost. But he wants to be your Savior. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, he's a counselor to the weary. You ever feel tired? Worn out? I don't have anything left. I'm done. We've all been there. Sometimes we're like that as a Christian in our Christian walk. God, I just don't want to deal with anything else. I'm done. I'm done for today. I'm done for the week. I'm done for the month. I'm done for the rest of my life. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm done. And God says, hey, how about you come back over to me? Because the problem is you've wandered away from me. You getting weary in well-doing? That's because you're starting to wander away from him. Why? Because he gives strength to the weary. When we get tired, he says, no, don't worry. I'll go ahead and give you strength. You know, I was looking back at the life of Christ, and I got to do a lot of reading to get all the pieces for these messages. I'm going through the Gospels over and over and reading and reading and reading. And you know what I noticed in Luke chapter 5? They're there on the boat, right? Peter and James and John and Andrew. Four of them are there. And they're on the boat. And Jesus says, hey, how about you let down your nets one more time? And Peter's reply is very, very much ours. Yeah, but we just toiled all the night. You know what that statement is? But I'm tired. But if you worked all night on a commercial fishing boat, I'm pretty sure you're tired. I used to work nights at a factory. I was tired after I was done there. That's probably harder work. I'm just guessing. I've never worked on a commercial fishing boat, but I would imagine pulling up nets all night and working and working and cleaning the decks off and then going ahead and dropping the nets again and then pulling them up and dropping them on the boat and going through everything that's there and then cleaning the decks so that you can drop the nets again so that you can do it all over. I'm pretty sure that's tiring. And he goes, we have toiled all the night and we got nothing. So I'm tired and I'm frustrated. If you worked that hard and you got nothing to show for it, I'm frustrated. I don't know about anybody else. I'd be frustrated. And then the Lord says, I'll just do it one more time. Peter's thinking, no. I'm going to be honest. Wouldn't you be thinking that? I think Peter's pretty much like most of us. I think that's why everybody likes Peter so much, because Peter's like us. He says stupid things when he's not supposed to. He says amazing things every once in a while, and everybody's like, whoa, we got it. And then other times, he is completely ornery with everybody around him, right? That's just us, right? Sometimes we just get grumpy. And here he is, and he goes, I guess. Because you asked, I guess I'll do it. I guarantee you, anybody else asked Peter to drop those nets besides Jesus, he'd have told them they could jump off the boat and they could swim back. Like, I'm done. No, get out of here. But it's Jesus. So you know what he says? Okay, I'll do it. You know, if you're willing to do it his way when you're weary, you know what you'll find? Amen. You'll find it's a good time to fall down on your face and say, my Lord and my God. Amen. That's Peter's reply, isn't it? He all of a sudden was like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. I don't know who this is. I don't know how this is supposed to work. But I realized very quickly, I'm the wrong one. And he's the right one. And if I'll do it his way, even when I'm weary, he always has the right answers so that you can provide and you can have the provision that he has for you. So he can go ahead and give you strength when you're weary and lift you up when you're tired. And you know, the problem is that Peter forgot about it. You get to John chapter 21 and they're there on the boat again and they're not supposed to be on the boat. Jesus told them, wait. And here they are on the boat again, right? In John chapter 21, Peter goes, well, I'm done waiting. I go fishing. He takes a bunch of guys with him. They get on the boat. They toil all night. He's back where he was in Luke chapter 5. He got nothing again. Jesus is standing there on the shore. He's got his fish and his loaves sitting on his fire. Have you any meat? Peter back to being old Peter. I've toiled all night and I caught nothing. I am angry. I am tired. And this guy is asking me what I got. And I got nothing. You know where he is? He's back in Luke chapter 5. And he's forgotten the one who told him to drop the nets the first time. And he's forgotten that when he's weary in well-doing, he's still supposed to wait for the one who will give him the right command. He hasn't told him to change. He hasn't told Peter to go back out there on the boat. He told Peter to wait until he shows up and he's going to give him power and he's going to give him the Holy Ghost and they're going to go out and preach, but he's just got to wait for Jesus to show back up. But he won't wait for him. He gets weary. He gets tired of waiting. And so he goes back on the boat and he gets out there and he toils all night in his own strength, in his own power, in his own wisdom, in his own everything, and he gets nothing. And the Lord says, how about you just drop that net down on that right-hand side? Peter's thinking, this sounds vaguely familiar. Why in the world should I listen to this guy? Maybe John's standing next to him and he goes, I don't know why you should listen to him, but he's got fish and we don't have fish. He's cooking something and we got nothing, all right? Maybe he knows something we don't know. Maybe you just drop the net, all right? Let's just try it. I mean, what's it going to hurt one more time if it comes up empty? Not like we got much work to do. And all of a sudden that net fills up and John looks over at Peter and he goes, it's the Lord. John noticed before Peter noticed. Say, why? Because Peter was weary and well-doing. He just dragged everybody else out with him. Come on. See, Peter was the one who decided where they were going to go. And everybody likes to follow Peter, so they did. You know, if they'd have waited and listened to Jesus, they wouldn't have had that moment right there. They wouldn't have wasted all that time that night. They would, you know, if they'd have waited, you know what they'd have had? They'd have had a free meal sitting on the shore. He was ready to show up. They just didn't wait quite long enough. Hey, Christian, just let me slide this in. Could you imagine being weary and well-doing today and tomorrow a trumpet sounds? Yeah. So what do? Listen to his counsel. He's an amazing counselor. He's a counselor to the weary to tell you the work you ought to do. You know, sometimes we're tired because we're doing the work we want instead of the work that he wanted. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. We're tired because we carry things we shouldn't carry. We do things we shouldn't be doing. We take on responsibility that's not our responsibility. We try to manage things that aren't ours to manage, and God says, stop doing that. And we go, yeah, but... And we take it upon ourselves. And God says, yeah, but I would rather have you do these things. But we don't go back to him. And we don't do it his way. And we get weary instead of finishing the work he asked us to do. Look back at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I thought a lot of ways to do this message. You know, oftentimes counsel is found in the form of questions. You saw that in Sunday school this morning. I believe, right? The lawyer comes up and he asks that question. What must I do? And Jesus answers him. Now, he doesn't like the answer. And most of the time, that's the problem. When you start looking at the questions that get asked of Jesus and the counsel that he gives, it's never taken hardly. Because it's usually somebody looking for an excuse to go ahead and do what they want to do. Instead, I mean, right? The rich man comes up, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and he asks him the same question. And Jesus says, well, you know, you got to keep the law and do these things. And he says, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And he says, well, then sell all your goods and give to the poor. And he goes away sorrowful. Why? Because he didn't like the answer. And I don't know if that young man ever did the right answer. Some believe that's the Apostle Paul later. I have no idea. It could be. But you know what I know? He went away that day not ready to do what God asked him to do. He went that way, that day, he was not willing to listen to the counsel that was given to him. That is oftentimes the case when you look at all those questions, you find, and we could have covered a bunch of those questions, but most people don't pay attention to those because the answer is not what they want. Sadly, the counsel that people get is often not what they want, but it is what they need. And Jesus will always give you what you need. Get to Mark chapter 4 and verse number 37. Mark chapter 4 and verse 37, we'll pick it up there. Well, back up a little bit for context. In verse number 35, the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Jesus speaking. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? That's a rough question. What are you worried about? Ship's just full of water. What are you worrying about? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know, he's a counselor to the lost. He's a counselor to the weary. But you know what else he is? He's a counselor to the helpless. You ever feel helpless? Nothing you can do. What are these guys going to do on the boat? Let's be honest. What are these men going to be able to do? They can't get the boat to shore. They can't bail water fast enough. The ship's filling up with water. They're ready. They're going down. The answer is, we're going down. The storm's too big. The problem's too much. I can't handle it. They're helpless. There is nothing physically they are going to be able to do. They can lighten the ship all they want to. It is going down. They're helpless. And they go to Jesus. Great place to go when you're feeling helpless. They run down there and they go, Jesus, what are you doing? You're sleeping? On a pillow. He's relaxed. He's fine. They're worried. He's not worried. That's easy when you're, you know, the Son of God. You know what's coming right here. Isn't that your title now? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Say, yeah, but I don't have the ability to calm the storm like he did. Yeah, but you've got the one who calms the storm every time anyways. Say, what's his counsel? His counsel is, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You know what his counsel is? You believed me for me to save you. Could you believe me when the trouble comes and the problems come? Couldn't you trust that I still have everything under control? I preach a message. I really like it. It's one of my favorite ones to preach. There's some of those where there's messages I really don't like to preach, and there's other messages where I'm like, man, this is fun. Like last Sunday morning was fun. Preaching on Jesus being wonderful, that's fun. And there's one called God is Not Surprised. Some of you might remember that one. My wife likes that message. That's one of the messages, and I love it. You know why? Because it shows you God has never one time been amazed by anything. He's never been caught off guard. He's not like, oh man, Adam and Eve sinned. Boy, I didn't see that one coming. I really thought, no, before he laid the foundations of the world, Jesus Christ was the lamb that was slain. He already had a plan to fix it. Jesus Christ has never been surprised one time in the entirety of history. Outside of the bounds of history, Jesus Christ never surprised. He was not surprised when Lucifer turned on him. He has never been surprised. He's not, oh man, oh, now what do I do? He's never looking at, oh boy, I need my plan B now. I didn't really know that was going to happen. You and I get surprised. You and I don't know what's happening, but he always knows. He gives them the order, go. We're leaving. We're going. And they say, okay, we're going. And they all get in the boat and they all do what they're told. And then they get in the middle and they're in trouble. And they forgot the one who told them to go. They even forget. Notice he says in verse number 35, let us pass over onto the other side. You know what he told them? Right before they got on the boat, you know what he said? We're going to get over there. That is where we're going. Now, it doesn't matter what happens in the middle because I know where I'm going. Amen. Amen. If you don't know where you're going, you've got a problem. And you should go back to the first point that you're lost and you need counsel. But for those of us who are saved, we know where we're going. Now, we may not know all the pieces in the middle, but we certainly know where we're going. And so you know what we can do? We can say, well, I don't really know what's going on with the storm. But God did say that I was going to pass over to the other side. I may not know what happens in this storm, and I may not know. I may end up on a shipwreck like the Apostle Paul was, and we may end up on pieces of wood and scraps of the boat, and we may end up washing up on shore. But if I stay with the boat and I stay where I'm supposed to be, I already know that God has secured me to the shore. I know where I'm going. And regardless of the storms and regardless of all the things, no matter how helpless I feel, the one thing I cling to is the fact that God said it. Amen. The word that He has spoken is the thing that keeps us contained, knowing that Jesus Christ has it all under control. Amen. When He steps out on the bow of that ship and wants to say, peace be still, the storm ceases and nothing else happens. Right. And if He doesn't want to calm the storm and He's waiting and sleeping in the bottom of the boat, then I do not have to worry no matter how much water's coming in. Because He knows. He has the right counsel. The answer is still His. And as we've heard repeatedly in this church, God is still always good. And He is always right. Regardless of the storm you're dealing with. That is who He is. And His counsel, when you are feeling helpless, is still to run to the Word of God and turn its pages and see what He tells you, because what He tells you will always be right. Amen. He's a wonderful counselor to the lost, to the weary, to the helpless. Look over at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. To the lost, He's the way. To the weary, He's the work. To the helpless, He's the word. And to the hopeless, He's the winner. Verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. You know what He is? You and I feel hopeless oftentimes. We look around at this world and you start to feel hopeless. You look around at even in America now, regardless of how an election came out, regardless of how everything else comes out, regardless of what they do or don't do, regardless of any politician's work, regardless of what your finances do, and regardless of what your business is, and regardless of all the things that you may or may not have and the blessings you may or may not have, there's one thing that is ultimately true. As you look around, you find out that none of those things help you, and you become very hopeless if you stay focused in this world. If your hope is that things are just going to magically change here in the United States, I hope that's not your hope. Your hope will fail. Now, you say, oh, you're saying America couldn't turn back. No, America can turn back. They have a free will to turn. America wants to get right. They can get right. But if you are hoping and that is your goal in life is to make America turn, you're going to be in for a sad awakening eventually. I think we got an amazing reprieve. I think we're going to be able to preach the gospel more freely. I think that we are not going to be hindered in our work for the next few years if the Lord tarries that long. I think we'll be able to do what we need to do to spread the gospel, and I think we'll have liberty to do so. Amen. But outside of that, I don't rightly know we're going to be much different than we are today as a nation. I do not know. But if your hope is that amazingly we're going to become this amazing lighthouse again to Christianity, I would not be putting my hope there. Instead, you know what we ought to have? We ought to be looking for the blessed hope. Amen. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what our hope is? Our hope is that one day Jesus Christ will sound a trumpet and He will come back and take us home. Amen. You look around here, you're going to be hopeless. You look up there and you realize He's coming one day, and if it gets much worse down here, He's got to come. The worse it gets here, the better it is that we're going to go. The chances just keep going up, the worse it is here. And one day, you and I will be gone. I think it'll be in our lifetime. I think the vast majority of people in here, if not everybody in here, will get to see a trumpet, or get to hear a trumpet and see Jesus Christ show up and take you home. You say, well, you can't prove that. You're right, I can't. I can't. But Paul thought he was coming today. He was wrong. Yeah, but everybody after him has believed he's coming today. Amen. You know what you and I have? We have a perhaps today. Amen. Maybe today. You say, oh, but it might not be today. Yeah, but it might be. Right. So your problem is you're always so negative. Everybody says I'm a negative preacher. You're negative. You're always so mean, so rough. So terrible. Okay. Well, how about you not be negative? Instead of he might not come today, how about he might come today? Amen. There's a chance. Say, how good of a chance? It's getting better and better every day. Realize the longer it takes, the better the chances are. Say, why? We eliminated another day. He didn't come today. He might come tomorrow. We're just getting closer and closer. Closer and closer. And today is one step closer. And you might feel hopeless and you might think everything is down and you might think you're not going to survive this or you're not going to be able to handle that or this is going to be awful or this is going to be terrible. The same one who takes care of you when you're helpless is the same one who takes care of you when you've lost all hope. Because it's not conditional on all those circumstances. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is bound in one thing and one thing alone, that Jesus Christ saved me. And that He is going to take me home. That He has secured for me heaven forever. Because Jesus died for me. Oftentimes we don't like counsel, but one thing you'll like is, guess what? Jesus wants you to remember He's coming back. If you don't want any of His other counsel, that'd be the best one to take. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, the best counsel you can take is quit looking around here and look up. He's coming. He's coming soon. And we ought to be busy about my Father's business because He's coming soon. We got plenty of work we can do. You know, I was talking to a pastor at the Pastor's Fellowship there a few weeks ago. And we were talking about people leaving New York and moving away and different things. And different, you know, COVID really drove some people out. You know, I don't want to put up with the politics in New York, all those things, you know. And we were talking about that, and you know, he made an awesome point. You know what he said? He said this. He said, you know, why don't you treat New York more like a mission field? Instead of bailing out, why don't you stay in and try and salvage some things? I think some people left just because they wanted to get out and their flesh didn't like what they had to deal with. I think people left New York, good, solid Christians, and they chose to leave because they just didn't like it here, so I'm going to go somewhere where I like it better. And maybe God didn't ask them to leave. You know, oftentimes you and I are asked to stay in places where we don't want to be. If Brother Bacon had his way, we'd pick up this whole church building. Fly it out of here somewhere. Maybe drop it on a mountain somewhere in North Carolina or something. I don't know. Hawaii. I don't know. I don't know what he's looking for. Well, I'll tell you what. We get tired of all sorts of things in New York. All sorts of things. You can complain about here. You got nothing to complain about with the Lord. We got a far better hope. It's not found in the next election cycle. And can we get Hochul out? And can we do this? And can we? There's none of that. Very simply this. My hope is not here. My hope is that He's prepared a place for me. And when I'm feeling hopeless, I look at the one who won all the victory for me. He tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. As the counselor, sometimes he tells you things you don't want to hear. You read through the Bible, you read through what God's trying to tell you. You know what you find? You find that some of his counsel is a little harsh, especially in today's climate. But it doesn't make it any less true. Sometimes you look at it and you go, boy, I really don't like to make that change. I really don't want to do that. I don't want to separate from that person. I don't want to change what I do there. I want to be able to. And God says, yeah, but you can't. Sometimes a lost world doesn't want to hear that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Well, isn't my religion good enough? The answer to that question is very simply, no, it's not. And I don't care if it's the Baptist religion. It's not good enough. Amen. None of it saves you. Religion can't save, but Jesus can. He is the way to God. He is the way to get to heaven. He is the only way and the only means that God has provided for the forgiveness and the salvation that you need. And the Bible makes it very plain. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It's now. God wants to save now. If you're in here, the best counsel I can give you is the same counsel that Jesus Christ gave you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He has everything you need. If you don't know Him as your Savior, He wants to be your Savior. Christian, if you're feeling weary, if you're feeling helpless, if you're feeling hopeless today, go back to the counselor. Go back to Him and say, God, what am I missing? What do I need? What should I do? God, what? I know I'm not thinking right, so help me. I'm feeling the wrong direction. I'm feeling weary. I'm feeling helpless. I'm feeling hopeless. I need something. And God will go ahead and you know what He'll provide? He'll provide what you ought to do with the work. He'll provide the Word of God that'll give you the right answers to your helplessness. And He'll calm the storms of your life. He'll go ahead and give you peace even through the troubles. Because that's what He does. Sometimes He calms the internal storm and not the externals. But He calms the storms. He is the peace that passeth all understanding, and He gives us that help when we need it. And sometimes we're feeling so hopeless, and Jesus Christ looks at us and He says, don't worry. Don't worry, let not your heart be troubled. Because in my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm coming back so I can get you. He says in John chapter 11 and verse 25, He says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's the hope we have. Makes no difference. You say, well, what if you're wrong and he doesn't sound a trumpet before I die? Then I'm wrong. And eventually he'll sound a trumpet and you'll still go home. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whether death or life, doesn't matter. Our hope is contained solely in Jesus Christ and what he's done. If you'd be willing to listen to the counsel of Jesus Christ, he is the counselor. He'll never steer you wrong. You can always trust his counsel. Let's go ahead and stand. In a moment, we're going to sing a closing hymn. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'll invite you to come. Some folks will come, and they may be at the altar, some may not. People will come, and they'll go ahead and they'll pray, and if they need some counsel from the Lord, I'd encourage you to come. If you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I ask you to come and get my attention. We'll gladly take a Bible, open it up, answer your questions, help you to understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried, He rose again, and He's done everything you need to save you. If you'd go ahead and call upon Him, He'd save you. We'll show you from the Bible how you can know your sins are forgiven and heaven is yours forever. If you're saved, this time of year brings about a lot of feelings. Different losses, different struggles, different problems, different weights, confusions. Maybe you just need to come to the counselor again and make sure he is giving you the counsel you need instead of you listening to the counsel of the world, the counsel of others that will be to no profit. Father, I do pray you would bless the invitation now. If those need to come, Father, I pray they would. If someone here doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray today would be the day of salvation. I pray they'd have the courage and the boldness to step out and let us show them and answer their questions. Father, we love you and we do pray you would help us and strengthen us. You'd be our help in our times of helplessness. You'd be our hope when we feel hopeless. You'd be our strength when we're weary. Father, we love you and we pray you would bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.